is knowing God and knowing Jesus, whom he sent. Jesus has come to help us know, and by what we know, we will grow. And how will we know? Because he will show, he will reveal, for he is real. He's the real deal. He's here to heal. He's here to free. He's here to lift up. He's here to build up. He's here to cause you to go beyond the normal mark. And those who take his hand will go to great places all across the land. Those who take his hand will take a stand for what is right, what is just. This is something that you must do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You believe that? Amen. So if you're free, just take one quick moment before you sit down and act like it. Morning at Victory Christian Fellowship, or VCF, however you want to know that. We serve a good God, don't we? And we're so grateful that God is doing a work here. He brought us, you know, today, this would be the closest Sunday of our anniversary Sunday. We came here, our first Sunday was September 22nd, 2002. We were installed here as pastors, and 13 years, God is awesome. And after all the smoke cleared, we're still here, so you know what? We're still going to be here. Amen, because God is a good God. And so I just give glory to God for giving us the privilege to preach the word and to serve here these past 13 years. And, you know, serving God is never boring. It's exciting. And amen. So praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Psalm 35. And we're going to begin there. Psalm 35. And we're going to look at verse 27. Psalm 35 and verse 27. We've been doing a series in September called God, or Prosperity Pleases God. Can we say that together? Ready? Prosperity pleases God. And God wants you to prosper in every area of life. He wants you to prosper in your mind, where we think God's thoughts and share his passion and interests. And he wants you to prosper in your bodies. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." You know, healing is good, right? But how many want to walk in divine health? Amen? And, you know, when Jesus encountered people, he changed their destinies. He caused the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and those people who were changed, and you know what? He's still changing people today. Amen? So, verse 27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad." Hallelujah. I want you to notice that prospering involves joy and gladness. I like that first song we sang this morning. That's a prosperity song. Amen? Yeah. Not being defeated, that's prospering. Hallelujah. Conquering, that's prospering. Did you know that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? You know, what do conquerors do? They conquer. They overtake. They defeat enemies. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." I don't know about you, but I favor God's cause. God, did you know that God has a cause? What's God's cause? Preach the gospel in all the earth to every creature until he comes. Amen? Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God takes delight. He enjoys. He's excited about when his servants prosper. And he will help you prosper. If you have a heart to serve God and you give that heart and you give all your, you give your all to God, he will help you prosper. He will help you increase. He helped Joshua. He helped many people that we've discussed before. But today, I want to give you some practical ways. You know, how many know that it's good to hear the word, but it's better to apply the word that you heard? Right? So today we want to go into some practical applications. And this week and next week, we're going to cover 8 ways that come from the book of Proverbs. There's never been a more practical book in the Bible than the book of Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. There's 30 days in every month. Sometimes they have 31, but you can read a proverb a day. It's just about practical wisdom, practical living. Okay? And we're going to cover these 8 things. I'm going to give them to you, then we'll go into it. Okay? But I'm not going to give you all 8 today as far as the details. Did you know that your speech is part of your prosperity? The words you say, the words you use will either bring life or death to your situation. Walking in righteousness is another way to prosper. You know, I thought about the word upright, and God gave me a little thing about it. God pulled you up so that you could live right. Upright, that's what it means to live right. All right? Your giving has a part to play in your prosperity. Okay? Being a giver. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge have a part to play in prosperity. Being a diligent person. Amen? And having the fear of the Lord is another way that will cause you to prosper. Keeping God's commands is another way that will cause you to prosper. And putting first things first is another way that will cause you to prosper. So you ready to prosper today? And even though you hear terms like wealth and substance, keep in mind that God wants you to prosper in how many areas of your life? All areas. Every area that affects you as a human being, God wants you to prosper in. Okay? So let's get into this this morning. Oh, I want to share with you a quote that I thought was incredible. Now, some of you may have heard of R.G. Letourneau. And he said this: I shovel money out, and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel. I like that. Now, this was a man who was instrumental in starting the Caterpillar Company. I don't know that much about him, but I do know that towards the end of his life, he was giving 90% of his income to the kingdom of God and living on 10%. And he lived very well on 10%. Amen? And, you can't be God-given. So that was a good quote that I wanted to share with you. All right, let's get into this. Number one, the first way that God will help you prosper so that he can take pleasure in you is you have to keep his commands. Did you know that the Bible is a book of commandments, not suggestions? Commands. You know, the one who gave these commands has authority to bring something out of nothing. The very words in this Bible are God's words. And they have the same creative ability and power when he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So our part in participating with God's prosperity plan is to keep his commands. Did you know that God put within every person the best and safest place to keep his commands? That is your heart. Your heart was created by God as a command container. And God made your heart where he could write his law right on your heart. He could inscribe his desire within you. And we are commandment carriers. Not aircraft carriers, we are commandment carriers. And you can put God's command in you, and when you get God's commands in you, you will operate and move with authority and power. I'll just give you an example. Did not the disciples do what Jesus did? So Jesus was able to pass on his authority to his disciples. First the 12, then the 70. The 70 came back, and what did they say to Jesus? Even the devils are cast out. And, you know, Jesus said, don't worry about the devil. I saw him fall like lightning. Just be sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So commandments have the design to be passed on and carried out. Psalm 1:1. Let's go to Psalm 1. All right? Psalm 1. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you are surrounding yourself with ungodly counsel, for example, if your counselors are any news channel, you're surrounding yourself with, you're not supposed to walk in that counsel. Don't take what the news says at face value. It may or may not be true. You're blessed if you don't walk in ungodly counsel. Be careful who's counseling you. Nor stands in the way of sinners. Did you know that there is a path of sin? And we're not supposed to even stand in the way, in the path of sin, okay? Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in ungodly counsel, who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Don't join people who are mocking godly things. A scornful person is one who mocks. You don't want to participate when someone is mocking another person. You will not be blessed if you do. But, verse 2, I love this. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You take pleasure, you enjoy, you get excited about God's word. How many are excited about God's word? For those of you that have been to this church for a long time, you know I'm excited about God's word. Every sermon is chocked full of word. It's better to preach the word than your opinions anyway. You get better results. His delight, do you take delight in God's word? I mean, do you take pleasure in God's word? Do you desire God's word? This is what he's saying. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Listen, when you love something, you love to spend time with it. Right? For those of you that are married, think back when you were courting. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. You love to talk to the person. You love to spend time with the person. Why? Because there was some delight there. When you delight in God's law, you'll be with it day and night. You'll go to bed with it. You'll sleep, wake up with it. You'll eat with it. Amen? Listen, as believers in Christ Jesus, the Word of God ought to infiltrate every area of your life. The Word is not to just be talked about on Sunday or Wednesday night, or Barnabas Group, or Woven, or Air Force. Did you know that you're supposed to have conversations about the Word every day? Do you realize if you read in Malachi, God listens to our conversations, and those who talk about the Word, he makes a book of remembrance about it. Can you see that, Gabriel and Michael? They're talking about my book. I love it. God gets excited when believers talk about it. Okay, let's go on. So his delights is in the law of the Lord. He does meditate in it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season. Its leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall what? Can you say amen? Amen. But notice, that's not just to anybody. That's to people who don't walk in ungodly counsel. That's to people who don't stand in the way of sinners. That's to people who don't sit with the scornful. That's to people who delight in God's law. That's to people who meditate in it day and night. Those are the people who prosper in all that they do. How many want to participate in God's plan for prosperity? Man, I heard an awesome quote from Richard Roberts on Kenneth Copeland's show this past week. He was quoting Oral Roberts. Richard Roberts said, this is what my father said. He said, without God, I cannot. Without me, God will not. In other words, God needs our participation. Didn't the lame man have to pick up his bed and walk once Jesus said it? I mean, once Jesus said it, he had a decision to make. You can either keep sitting there or pick up your bed and walk. But he picked up his bed and walked because he believed what was said. Therefore, he participated in God's plan. We have a part to play in God's plan. It's not all up to God. God works with us. Did you know the Holy Ghost is a helper? Now get this. If I was to ask a bunch of guys, I want you to help me, okay? I want you to help me move this piano, all right? Now, if I go sit down, and if I ask the guys to help me, then you should join me sitting down. Right. Help means you come alongside someone who's doing something. Right. If I'm not doing nothing, help me do nothing. Right? This is what we think about God. We think that it's all up to God. I have no part to play. That's not true. Not true at all. You have to use your faith. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Can you imagine prospering in whatever you do? I mean, really. You get up and you look in the mirror, you brush your teeth. Boy, you got prosperous teeth. Boy, this is prosperous toothpaste. You're brushing your hair. Boy, this is a prosperous brush. You're putting on your clothes. These are prosperous clothes. Did it not say prosper in all that you do? You're driving down the road. This is a prosperous vehicle. Even if it goes chugga, chugga, chugga. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, he's also talking to daughters. Forget not my law. That means it's possible to forget it. If God commanded us to not forget it, that means it's possible to forget it. See, when you're not around it day and night, you will forget it. Uh-oh. Now you're getting on me, Pastor. But let your heart keep my commandments. What's going to happen if you do this? Verse 2. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Do you mean if I keep God's commands in my heart that they're going to add these things to me? Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. This is the Word of God. This is not some man's opinion. This is God talking to us right now. This is for us today in this moment. This is not for yesterday. This is not for some select few. This is for everybody who will believe it. If you don't believe it, well, then it's not for you. Okay? Where are you supposed to keep God's commands? In your heart. Your heart was designed. Your heart is God's piggy bank. For his commands. Your mouth is the plug that opens it when you need it. You don't have to break the piggy bank. All you have to do is open your mouth to access what's in it. God designed the heart of man. Your heart has an unlimited capacity to keep God's word. I heard a statistic this past week about Jack Van Impe. That man has memorized 18,000 scriptures, not chronologically, but categorically. 18,000 scriptures the man has memorized. There must be something to memorizing scripture, because I don't know, he's been around a long time. So your heart has an unlimited capacity to contain God's word. You can, listen, you'll never run out of storage space in your heart for keeping God's commands. You don't have to pay extra if you go over in commandment data. You have come fully equipped to be able to contain God's commands for more than a lifetime. But the problem is, people don't take enough time to put the commands in. How many has ever gone to the gas pump, sat in your car, and hoped that the pump will fill your car? You're sitting at the gas pump saying, come on, pump. You're waiting. The gas is E. But the gas is right there. You have money on your card. But did you know that you got to get out of that car? You got to swipe that card. You got to grab a hold of that handle. You got to pick which octane you want. And you got to put it in. And you got to pull the trigger. I've lived 46 years on this earth. I have never seen an automatic filling gas station. If there is one, please let me know. You have to make someone else get out of the car, put the card in, take the gas pump off, and squeeze. Otherwise, that gas is not going to get in that car. Now, if we don't have automatic gas pumps, we don't have automatic word pumps either. That means you're going to have to get off your seat. You're going to have to open the book. You're going to have to read. You're going to have to think about. You're going to have to meditate. You're going to have to ponder God's word. I've done this before. Did you know that if you just lay the word on you, it will not get in you? How many know about osmosis? When liquid gets near a cell, it just finds its way in. That's called osmosis. You just have to get close to it. Just put a dry sponge close to water, and it'll go. It'll suck up that water. But the word is not so. You can't just sleep on your Bible and expect it to get in you. You've got to actually open the book. You've got to read it to get it in your heart. That is the only way it'll get in your heart. Now, it'll get in your heart if you hear it. You're hearing the word of God today. It gets in your heart, but it gets in your heart quicker. It has better effect if you put it in there. If you hear yourself speaking the word, it has a greater effect on you. Did you know that your body responds better to your voice than any other voice? Whew. All right, let's just look at one more scripture here. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8. Long time ago, I was reading the book of Proverbs, and all of a sudden, these eight things just stood out to me. It was like God showed me them. It was God showing me them. It wasn't like it. It was. Proverbs 8:32. Now, therefore, hearken unto me. Wisdom is talking here. O children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. You mean you can refuse instruction? Absolutely. Did you know that instruction is a gift? And you can either receive it or reject it, just like a gift. Well, there's a whole lot of things coming out today that I didn't intend, but the Holy Ghost did. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul, that they hate, those that hate me love death. It's talking about wisdom there. We're going to get to that. So you got to keep God's words. You got to keep God's ways. Did you know that God has ways? Did you know that God's ways are different than our ways? How God does things are different than how I would ever do things. Did you know that the world does not practice by giving, you'll get ahead? The world practices by taking, you'll get ahead. But God's way to get ahead is to give. I can see that one amen about giving. Amen. Well, good, because that's the next point. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Did you know that you got to keep sound wisdom and discretion? You got to keep it. What do you do with things you keep? You keep it safe. You keep it so that you can use it. You keep it because it's precious to you. It's valuable to you. That's why you keep it. God's word has to be that to you above everything else. There's nothing else that will preserve you like God's word. All right? So you got to keep God's commands and live. Everybody say, keep God's commands.
Keep God's commands.
Okay, that's one way to prosper. All right? Let's go into the second way to prosper. You've got to be a giver. Is our God a giver?
Yes.
Does God give junk? I mean, when God gives anybody anything, it is the very best. It is the most precious, most valuable. How many people do you know would give their only son to sacrifice for people that don't even know him? God gave us Jesus. God gave us this earth. I mean, this earth is awesome. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord. Think about those three words for just a minute. What you're about to hear next is to fulfill honoring the Lord. What you're about to hear about doing next, it's all about honoring the Lord. Why should you give anything? You should give to honor the Lord. Your motive for giving should be love. You don't give to get. That's manipulation. You give because of love. See, the very nature of love is to give. God is love, and God gave. God is love, and God gave. God gives us the air we breathe. And once again, he doesn't charge us a monthly fee. You know? We're not charged to breathe in this air that we're breathing in. God gave it to us. God made it possible for us not to think about whether or not our heart is beating. Our bodies have functions that just function. Thank God I don't have to think about that. Can you imagine is my heart beating today? Let's get it. No, we don't have to think about it. God set it up so well, so incredible, so amazing. He made the body to function. So when we do things, as far as giving goes, does our gift honor the Lord? Let me ask you this. Would you give Jesus that? What you're about to give, would you give Jesus that? If Jesus came to your house for dinner, what would you give him to eat? What would you put it on? What seat would he be sitting at? See, when you honor someone, you esteem them, you value them, you respect them, you love them. Okay, let's go on. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance. Everybody say substance. That's stuff. It could be things, it could be money, it's stuff. We all got stuff, don't we? Some of us have more stuff than what we know. I've got stuff in my garage I haven't done anything with for 5 years. If I haven't done anything with it for 5 years, it's probably likely I'm not going to do anything with it tomorrow. It's time to get rid of some stuff. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Any increase that comes into you, God should get the first part of it. When a farmer plants a field and he starts reaping it, he breaks out the combine and he's bringing it in, the first portion of that, not the whole thing, just a portion, give it to God. The first fruits of all your increase. Amen? When you get a raise, who should you honor first? God. What? Did you know that promotion comes from God? Oh, you thought it came from your experience or your skills or your personality. No, promotion comes from God. Why? God takes pleasure in your prosperity. Don't you think God wants to promote you? He absolutely does want to promote you. Because when he promotes a believer, he's promoting him. Ooh, that's a good thought. When God promotes a believer, God's promoting him. He's promoting someone to shine there for Jesus. He's promoting someone to be like a Joseph was to Potiphar, like a Daniel was to Nebuchadnezzar. Honor the Lord. Now, God will never ask you to do something without giving you a promise to bless you. All right? Notice what he says in verse 10. After you honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of how much of your increase? All. Anything extra that comes in, give God his part. Verse 10, this is the blessing part. So shall your barns be filled with a few. Oh, your words, your Bible says plenty? Mine does too. I was just seeing if you're awake. What's your barn? Your barn is your storage place. It's where you store things. Your barns will be filled with what? Plenty. Everybody say plenty. Plenty. What does plenty speak to you? More than enough. You got, God wants to have enough in your barn for you and for whoever else comes along. He wants your barns filled with plenty so that there's enough for you and enough to share. That's plenty. And your vats will burst out with new wine. Barn speaking of natural, vat speaking of spiritual. Because new wine, it always has to do with the Spirit. You can have the Spirit and have a full barn? Can you imagine that? You can have a barn with plenty and a vat that's bursting out with new wine. But what's the key? You got to honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. How do you do that? You become a giver. What is a giver? A giver is someone who gives. What do they give? Whatever the Lord asks for. Whatever the Lord commands. Whatever the Lord leads. Whatever the Lord said in his word. All right? For a believer, the first gift is not a gift. Did you know that the tithe, you don't give your tithes. Why do I say that? Because the tithe isn't yours. How can you give something that's not yours? Uh-oh. And then there's offerings, which is above and beyond the tithe. Then there's alms. That's for people who are needy. Did you know that the Bible says when you lend to the poor, or when you give to the poor, you're lending to God? Did you know that God is a good, he's never missed a payment? When you're giving to the poor, you're lending to God. That means he'll pay you back with interest. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, verse 16. My goodness, it's already almost 11:30. I'm having a good time today. Proverbs 18, verse 16. Notice this scripture. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great, before great men. What makes room for him? A gift. Think of Jesus. Jesus was just born. He's in a manger, sharing his birthplace with animals. And along come these wise men. Right? Now, there wasn't three wise men. There was more than that. The Bible doesn't say how much there were. Doesn't matter, but they brought three things. They brought gold. They brought frankincense, and they brought myrrh. To who? A baby. And then what did they do? They worshiped. Because that baby was the Son of God. That baby is the Son of God. He's not. He was, is, and always will be the Son of God. And they brought their gifts before him. What kind of men were they? Wise men. If you want to be a wise man or a wise woman, then bring your gifts to God and honor him with it. Amen? Did you know that it was Cornelius' giving and praying that God saw that caused him to get hooked up with Peter? Go with me to Acts chapter 10 for a minute. I got to show you this. Acts 10. I want you to see this. Verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Okay? And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your what? Are come where? They're come up for a memorial before who? Oh my goodness. Do you mean to tell me that God pays attention to our gifts? Absolutely. Did you know that your gift can make a difference between a miracle or not? What was Zacchaeus' first response when he came to Jesus? His first response was, I will right the wrongs by giving four times of any of money I stole. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus went from being greedy to a giver because he met Jesus. A giver is someone that's willing to part with something because they know that they're going into it. Did you know that when you give a gift, though it leaves your hand, it never leaves your life, but it actually goes into your future. And God then receives it, he multiplies it back to you and gives it back to you more than what you gave. How did that happen? God knows. You can ask him when you get to heaven. But it's true, he does do that. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, it's good to be a giver. Say, I'm a giver. Because my God's a giver. See, when you decide to be a giver, you share the nature of God. God loves a cheerful giver. What's a cheerful giver? One who does it voluntarily. Amen? Okay. Number 3. Go to Proverbs chapter 3 again. Proverbs chapter 3. And this is the one that I need to spend just a few minutes on. Let's go to verses 13. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than gold. So he's talking about here, the third way that God will help you prosper is through wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, the power triplets. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge work together. What type of knowledge? Revelation knowledge. And we're going to find out something about wisdom that's very, 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 very important. We're going to find out, but I'm just wetting your whistle, so I want you to be fully engaged, all right? Happy is the man who what? What's that word before wisdom? Finds. Huh. To find something means you were looking for something. And if you want to find wisdom, you've got to look where water. If I'm thirsty, I'm going to find me a water source. Whether it's a bottle of water, whether it's a fountain, or whether it's this thing over here, whatever this fountain is, I'm going to go and find it because I'm thirsty. See, if you want wisdom, it's available to you, but you got to find it. And where's the best place to look for wisdom? No further than the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I love to read it every day. And if you ask me what I'll say, the Bible, that's the book for me. Don't know where that came from. Long time ago, I guess. Woo! Happy is the man that finds. Notice, Wisdom has to be found by you. What did Jesus say? Seek and you shall what? Knock and what? Ask and you'll? Okay, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. So you got to find wisdom and you got to get understanding. Wisdom, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the foundation. It's upon which everything else is built. Okay, because we're going to find out that really important key about wisdom. It's coming up. Stay tuned. All right? Now notice verse 14, for the merchandise of what? Finding wisdom and getting understanding. The merchandise of finding wisdom and getting understanding. It's better than silver, and it's better than fine gold. What does gold run today? I don't know. A couple thousand an ounce? Huh? 1,200 an ounce. Wisdom is more valuable than that. Wisdom is more precious than that. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things that you can desire are not to be compared to her. Listen, wisdom is better than what you ever desire. Think about what you can desire. It's better than that. Whoa. Say, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge is good. All right, let's read on. What does wisdom have? Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Whoa. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So wisdom has honor and riches and, what was that? Length of days in her right hand and riches and honor in this hand, and the ways of wisdom are pleasant and peaceful. You can take a stroll with wisdom because it's pleasant and peaceful. There's a nice cool breeze. It's not too hot. It's a beautiful day. The birds are singing. Why? It's pleasant. Wisdom will bring pleasure to your life, but you got to find it. It doesn't come on to you automatically. You've got to find it. You've got to look for it. You've got to go after it. You've got to pursue it. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. If you're going to be a tree hugger, hug the tree of life. That's a good tree to hug. Hold on to the tree of life. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retains her. The man who retains wisdom is happy. Don't worry. Be happy. But I want you to see that with all the benefits, there are actions associated with it. Okay? Now. Oh my goodness. This is so good. Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. The very same wisdom that we can find, the very same wisdom that will make you happy, is the very same wisdom that founded the earth. Whoa. You have access to eternal wisdom. Let me tell you something. The devil does not have access to eternal wisdom. The devil has only access to natural wisdom. But with eternal wisdom, you can outwit, outsmart, outact the devil every time. By understanding, he established the heavens. So wisdom makes things happen. Understanding brings establishment to it. It helps you understand. When you understand something, you can operate in it. Amen? By his knowledge, verse 20, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Wonder if that's Mountain Dew. I just had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. Is it okay to have fun? Go to Proverbs chapter 2 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 2. Here are the things that you have to do for wisdom. Okay? Verse 1, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver. How do people find silver? What do they have to do to get silver? They got to dig, right? So you're going to have to, you don't need a shovel. All you need are able fingers that can turn pages. Did you know that as you turn pages, that's called digging? And if you can turn pages, you can find wisdom. It's that easy, okay? And if you search for her as for hid treasures, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge. So what do we have to do? We have to receive, we have to treasure, we have to incline, we have to apply, we have to cry out, we have to lift up our voice, we have to seek, and we have to search for wisdom. Now, the good thing about this is, it is not unattainable. If you do this, you will find wisdom. The Bible said in James, if any of you lack wisdom, what should you do? Ask for it? You mean I'm struggling with this thing and all I had to do was ask for it? And the Bible says in James 1, God, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. I remember it in the King James Version. So he'll give liberally, he won't hold back, and all you got to do is ask for wisdom. I mean, God did not make this impossible. Finding wisdom is not an impossible task. You don't have to climb Mount Everest to get wisdom. You don't have to swim the English Channel to get wisdom. You don't have to go through the Sahara Desert to get wisdom. All you got to do is look to God. And he has it right there. Okay? So, and in Proverbs 2, if you keep God's commands in your heart, it will add days and years to your life with peace. How many want days and years added to your life with the quotation, with peace? I mean, I don't want days added to me in turmoil, but God will add days to you in peace. Okay? Proverbs 2:3, it says, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Okay, he says, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Okay? Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, be steadfast in love. When you're steadfast in love, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Okay? And then verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. So if you're not wise in your own eyes, you'll fear the Lord and turn from evil. You'll get healthy body, strong bones, and refreshment to your soul. Notice that verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. That word marrow to your bones, that's refreshment to your soul. Isn't that awesome? Okay? And then finally, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and your money and your firsts, your capital, your sufficiency. Then your storage places are going to be filled with plenty in your vats. But notice, with every promise, there's a condition. God's things come with your participation. Okay? Now, are you ready for that important thing about wisdom? You're ready? Okay. Are you sure? All right. Go with me to, let me see if I can find it here. Yes. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Here's the very important truth about wisdom. Let's go down to verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, thank you. Verse 24. It says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ," everybody say Christ.
Christ.
Notice this now. "The power of God and the what?" When you find wisdom, you're actually finding Christ. Christ is the epitome of the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. When you find Christ, you find wisdom. When you find Christ, you're happy. When you find Christ, you're blessed. When you find Christ, He'll add years to your life. He'll give you peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Christ is the wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. The principal thing in life is knowing Christ. That's the foundation of faith. You've got to know Christ. You've got to know Him. You've got to be intimate with Him. You've got to be close to Him. Because to know Christ is to know wisdom. Wisdom is Christ. And He's given us His Spirit to give us understanding. Ephesians, Paul prayed, he said, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Because if you have wisdom, you'll get understanding and you'll get knowledge. Jesus will show Himself, revelation knowledge. He'll reveal truth that you didn't know. Because Christ, the most important thing you need to know about wisdom, everything that talks about wisdom in Proverbs, it relates to Christ. They're connected. Jesus came to not do away with the Old Testament, but to fulfill the Old Testament. He is the embodiment of God's wisdom. He exercised wisdom on this earth. How do you feed 5,000 people that show up for dinner? You multiply fish and bread. That's God's wisdom. How do you get to your friends in a storm? You walk on water. That's God's wisdom. What do you do with someone who has been dead for 4 days? You stand in front of the tomb and you call his name to come forth. That's wisdom. What do you do with blind eyes? You say, "Be opened." That's the wisdom of God. See, the wisdom of God, it doesn't make logical sense to our natural minds. But just because it doesn't make sense to our natural minds doesn't mean it's so. Doesn't mean it's not so. Listen, God doesn't have to make sense to your logical mind. Because right now your mind is dirty because your mind has to be renewed. At some point today, I don't care where you go or what you do, you will have to wash your hands at least once. Should, yeah. My point is this, our hands get dirty no matter what we do. Just living makes it, see, our mind has to be renewed. Our mind has to be washed. Because for how many ever years we thought like the natural man and we didn't think like the wisdom of God. So our mind has to get renewed by His Word so that His wisdom can operate in us. Because Christ, He is the wisdom of God. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Notice this, verse 9. This is powerful. "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in what? in all wisdom? You can know what God wills, and it can be so full in you because you'll have all wisdom. All wisdom. God wants you to know His will with all wisdom. And then it goes on to say, and spiritual understanding. So that you can see, the understanding helps you apply the wisdom to make it so. Wisdom is how to do things, what to do things, when to do them. That's wisdom. But knowledge is the how to. Which wisdom do I apply to this situation? What truth do I apply to this situation? That's understanding, because understanding helps you operate. I'm so glad that people go through driver training. It gives them understanding on how to operate a vehicle. If no one had understanding and they were operating vehicles, I'm riding a bike. Because people who lack understanding cannot operate something well. God doesn't want you to operate life not well. He wants you to live the best life that you can possibly live. He wants you to prosper in every area of life. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant, and you can prosper by keeping His commands, by being a giver, and by operating in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Those are just three of the eight that God will help you to prosper. Practical application. Did you notice that out of all these things I'm going to talk about, the majority of them relate to how you relate to the Word? It has nothing to do with your brain or your ability, but it has everything to do with your relationship with God. How you relate to God's Word is the key to prospering. So if you want to increase, prosperity knows no age limit. You can prosper when you're young. Jesus did as a baby. You can prosper when you're old. Moses started when he was 80. What did Moses? Moses was pastor of 2 million people, at least 2 to 3 million people. Now, if you're pastor, if you're going to live in the wilderness 40 years, there was some prosperity going on, right? There wasn't a Burger King or a McDonald's, but God fed him. There wasn't a wise market or a giant, but God fed them in the wilderness. They prospered, but you're not designed to live in the wilderness. Wilderness is a temporary situation. You're designed to live in the promised land. That's the land that flows with milk and honey. God wants to get you to a place where milk and honey is continually flowing towards you. Every wilderness experience was meant to pass through. You're not meant to set up camp there for a lifetime. Everybody will pass through a wilderness, but you're supposed to just pass through. That's not your destination. You were designed for something better, something greater. When they entered the promised land, the manna stopped. Because now they could reap the land that God brought them in. The land was so flourishing and so abundant that God didn't need to rain manna down anymore. That's where God wants to get you. That's where God's taken us as a church. Why should we prosper? Because God's got an awesome work to do. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to buy a bus for release time and pay a driver? But that takes money, doesn't it? If you got $100 in your bank account, you can't necessarily buy a bus. You need more than that, right? That's why we want to prosper. We want to prosper so we honor God. Because the more we prosper, the more we can do for God. Does not God want to do more? He's got work to be done. He's got people to be reached. He's got crosses to build so we can take them out and pass out tracts. I'm not interested in building my kingdom. I'm interested in building His kingdom. There is a kingdom to be built. And we are kings and priests in this kingdom. And all of us have a part to play. If you're If you've fallen, no, I don't want to say that. God wants to take pleasure in your prosperity today. He wants you to prosper in your body. If you need healing in your body, that sickness is hindering your prosperity. God wants to heal you today. If you're not born again, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. You don't come in the mother's womb again, but you accept Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Son of God, and you confess Him as Lord. That makes you born again. You must be born again. If you're not born again, then today is your day. It's the greatest thing ever. And God just wants to strengthen you today. You know, God's a hugger. And sometimes He'll just bring you close, wrap His arms around you and hug you and just let you feel His presence. Amen? So if those things, if you need to be healed, if you need to be saved, don't leave today without being saved. Don't. If you're not right with God, you know it. Let's just get right today. Don't walk out that door don't walk out that door having a broken relationship with God. Because that does stop the flow of prosperity in your life. Prosperity begins when you know Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you need to be healed, if you need to be saved, if you just need God's love to wrap His loving arms around you and to pour out His love upon you, then that's for you today. Those are the three things that we want to pray for today. If that's you, I want you just to come up. Amen? If you need God's arms to be wrapped around you, if you need to be healed in your body, and if you need to be saved, or if you need to make it right with God, all right? Hallelujah. Today, God is going to turn things around. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word and for your spirit. Oh, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God. The power of God is real. In the name of Jesus. I can walk down this dark face.